be in the Lord's house tonight? Amen. Well, that's about five of you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Hey. Say, there come the rest of you, isn't there, Robert? I'm thankful tonight for this opportunity. I told Brother R. Wayne, I said, I am super nervous. He said, why? I said, I don't know. He said, well, don't get up there and go to mumbling now. I said, yes, sir. So I'm super thankful for this opportunity to be up here tonight just before you. I'm thankful that our preacher thought enough about me to ask me to stand up here while he's gone. But if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Samuel chapter 17. If you would stand for the reading and the honoring of God's word tonight. We're going to be in verse 43, where we're going to start our reading. If you found your place, shout a big amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and will take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know." It doesn't say some of the earth. It doesn't say just a piece of the earth or just this part of the earth. It says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. Verse 48, it says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." In verse 50, where I'll finish the reading, it says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David." If the Lord, with the Lord's help tonight, I'd like to preach this thought. Handling giants. Handling giants. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your goodness. God, thank you for being so good to us, God, and getting us through another day. God, and getting us to your house tonight. God, I'm super thankful to be here, God. And God, I hope that your people come here hungry tonight, God. And God, willing to listen, God, and willing to apply things that are said tonight, Lord, to their life. God, I pray that you had me behind you tonight, God, and you speak through me. God, that they don't see me standing up here. God, that they see you. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for everything you do, because you're worthy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know the story, David and Goliath. David has gone and he has come up through, he starts out as a young shepherd, and he's come up to the battle, and as he's come to the battle, just like I read, he sees this Philistine defying his God. And the army of Israel, and as I read, he runs with a haste. He says that I will defeat thee on this day. But I thought about the giant that was before him, and I thought about us as people, as sometimes we face giants in our life. Sometimes we face a different thing. Sometimes the ground troops, as Preacher Kevin called it a few weeks ago in revival, sometimes we face horsemen. But I want you to think about this, some things that we can do in order to handle a giant. Some things that we can do in our own life and what David done here so that he could handle this giant with God's help. I want you to see that there was preparation for the giants. If you look over there in verse 34, the Bible says Saul has come to David, and David is eager to go and to face this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, and he goes to him, and he goes to Saul. He says, Saul, I want to do this. I want to be the one that goes and defeats this man, not because of my own doing, but with the help of God. And he goes, and Saul says, but son, you're but a youth. You're too small. You're too small. You're not big enough for this giant. You're too small. He says, you're but a youth. He said, this man basically, in my words, he's been a warrior since his youth. But the Bible says in verse 34, it says, and David said unto Saul, he says, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant, he's talking to Saul, he says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He didn't say he was a dead God. He didn't say he was just a God, a little lowercase g God. He said he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. You see, there was preparation that had to take place whenever David had come to this point in his life. You see, God is preparing you for something greater than you could ever imagine. God is preparing you for something that you don't even see coming. You see, as David is being a shepherd, the lowliest of lows, out tending his flock, God was preparing him for what was yet to come. You say, how do you say that? Well, David was out there, and you can imagine as a shepherd, they had those staffs, and what they would do is tend the flock with the staffs. But not only that, they had a sling, and they had rocks, and he would fight off all the lions and the bears, and he would fight off all of those things with his staff. He would fight off all of those things. And little did he know that God sent on David. He started as a shepherd. He started out as a shepherd. You say, where are you going with this? Just hang on just for a few minutes. We'll get there eventually. But he started out as a shepherd. And day in and day out, I can imagine as he would sit maybe by that flock, as he was watching them over there in the pasture or in the field, and he would sit there, and he was just like a guard dog, Brother Robert. He would just sit there, and he would just watch day in and day out to make sure that his flock was cared for. He would make sure that nobody could come against him. Little did he know as to why he was facing those lions, and maybe those bears, Brother Robert. Little did he know that it was preparing him for what was to come. He was getting prepared for probably one of the greatest battles or one of the greatest defeats that we would ever see. You see, God's pattern in preparation He calls us to be faithful exactly where we're at. He calls us to be faithful exactly where we're at. He calls us, He prepares us exactly where we're at. You see, he just didn't call David and say, okay, David, you're going to go and face this giant and never slung a stone, never tended a flock with a staff, never had to use it, never had to use anything. You see, it didn't matter. It didn't matter how many lions or how many bears that came, just like in our lives. God is preparing us for battles each and every day. And He's got us in battle each and every day and each and every second of our life. And friend, just as Brother Skip, I think, was saying earlier, if the devil's not coming against you, friend, you might need to check up. If you're not in a battle day in and day out, then friend, you might need to check up. Friend, you might want to look at everything that's going on and make sure that you're right where you need to be. You see, there was preparation for it. I want you to notice something in this text. You see, Saul was focused on more of the physicalities, or the physical attributes of not only David and that he was a youth, but also with the giant, with the Philistine. If you go to verse 33, you see where Saul is focused on the physical things. He said, to go against this Philistine, to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. You see, Saul was focused on the physical things that David had. But then he also looked at the size of the giant, or the size of the Philistine. He said, you're no match for this man. You're no match for this Philistine. But see, David was looking at it just a little bit different. You see, if you go down to verse 37, I want you to see what David says. David's looking at it totally different than what Saul's looking at it. David's not focusing on the physical attributes and the physical sheer size of this Philistine or what he lacks physically. But this is what he says. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. You see, David had been preparing for this day and this time, and he had already done been through these things with these lions and these bears. He had already, preacher, that he had already done went through the ground troops, and now he's at the point where he's at the horsemen. He's at the point where he's at the horsemen. And guess what? He's been prepared. He's been prepared for it. You see, things in life we go through, God prepares us for it. Brother Adam, even when we ain't paying no attention to what we're going through in a specific day, specific week, specific month, or specific year, He's preparing us for what is to come. He's preparing us for a fight. This is a side note. You ever notice how the greatest men of God were also the greatest warriors? Some of the greatest men of God were also the greatest warriors in battle. They were also the greatest warriors in battle. But not only do you see the preparation for the giants, but I want you to see the proven weapons for giants. Verse 38, the Bible says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and also be armed with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. Listen, he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, he said, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. You see, that was Saul's armor. Brother Robert, that was armor that was tailor-made to fit Saul, from the coat of mail to the helmet to the breastplate to the sword. That was tailor-made specifically for Saul, but not for David. Listen to that. It was specifically tailor-made to fit Saul and not David. You see, some things that I go to battle with. I mean, I think I'm 38 short. They tailor made to fit me, Brother Robert. They tailored to fit me. Some things that I have, they won't fit you. But in return, some things that you possess and that you have, and that's tailor made for Robert, won't fit me. There's proven weapons for giants. You see, that none of that fit David. He said, I can't even bear it. I can't go nowhere with it. There's no way that I'll be able to fight with what you've given me. So you know what David does? You know what David does? He goes back to stuff that's been proven. He goes back to stuff that's been proven, not only proven just with him, but it's been proven in the field. It's been proven in the field. I'm going to say it again. It's been proven in the field. You see that staff, those five stones, that script, and that sling, that's something that had been with him for his entire life. And I can imagine Brother Taylor, as he was sitting there, and day in and day out, he probably just practiced with that old sling. And he just got that thing to where it was honed in, Brother Adam. And every time he could, I can imagine him out there just hitting old daylilies, just slinging them and knocking them off the stem. Slinging them and knocking them off the stem. And as he would take out that script and he would just read and he would just write, and he was familiar with it. You see, that's the problem with us. And that's the problem sometimes when we go against giants, is that we try to pick up weapons that were not proved and weapons that we're not familiar with in this time. And we try to go to battle with them, and it does not work. It does not work. Can you imagine? I wonder what the story would have been like, Benji, if he would have kept on Saul's armor. I wonder what it would have been like if he would have kept that armor on. You see, it took years of practice and years of honing in. God's just not going to stick us out there that we've been in something for one day, been practicing with something for one day, and expect us to take down a giant with it. God's not going to do that. Can you imagine the countless hours that David had with that sling and had with that staff and had with stones and with the script? Can you imagine the time that was put in? How many of y'all athletes in here or used to be athletes? Well, we got five of you. Six. But you think about it. That glove, baseball players, that glove that you wear on your hand, it's been proven. There's something different. I played baseball, but there's something different about whenever you put somebody else's glove on. It just don't fit the same. When a ground ball comes, you can't scoop it the way that you used to scooping it. Maybe the glove's too long. Maybe it's just a little bit too short. It's not proven. You may go out there in the field and you may be in a baseball game and a ball may be hit to you. And if that glove's an inch short, guess what? Ball comes and it's hit to you. You're liable to miss it because the glove's too short. Because you're not used to it. Because you're not familiar with it. It's the same thing with David right here. He takes those sling and the stones and the script and the staff because it's proven, because he's familiar with it. It's something that worked time and time and time again. You see, during this battle, it was something that something man-made could not win this battle that David was up against. Man-made, a sword couldn't have won this battle. A sword couldn't have won this battle. Think about it spiritually. In your walk with Christ. Sadly today, there's folks in church, folks that come and they sit in a pew each and every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, faithful, faithful. And you know what they'll say? Lord, help us. This is what they'll say. I cannot go with this. Because I've not proved it. I cannot go with this. Because I've not proved it. I cannot go with this because I've not proved it. What did I tell you David spent? Day in and day out. Practicing with that weapon. Day in and day out. Spent practicing with that weapon. But Christians, today we'll take the Word of God, the only offensive weapon that we possess. Yeah. And we go to battle, Brother Johnny. Put it on us and it don't fit. Will say, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved it. That's a sad state. Can I encourage you tonight? I know that was like a dull moment. But can I encourage you tonight to get your Bible out and to read it? Get your Bible out and read it so that when the times comes, whenever the giant in your life comes, you'll already
that's right.
The ground troops will come first, and you'll be able to knock them down and knock them back. And just as the lion and the bear had come to David, and throughout time they'll keep coming, but there'll come a point in time to where the Philistine will come, to where a giant will come your way. And friend, if you're not familiar with it, you won't be able to win. If you're not familiar with the Word of God, you won't be able to win. Now we're going to switch gears. Now we're getting to some shouting time. Glory! Not only do you see the preparation for the giant or the proven weapons for the giant, but I want you to see David's perspective as being bigger than the giant. As being bigger than a giant. Verse 24, the Bible says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man," this is talking about, they called him Goliath. Friend, and just a side note, you'll never read in this text where David refers to this Philistine as a giant or Goliath. He always refers to him as the Philistine. Always refers him to the Philistine. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen the man, this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with the great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." You see, there's a perspective that David had. And David wasn't looking at the physical attributes. We talked about that earlier. He was looking at the spiritual attributes. You know why we lose the majority of our battles? To ground troops or to bears and lions? Because we've got the wrong perspective on who God is. We've got the wrong perspective on who God is. And I'm going to explain that here in just a second. So just hang on. I want you to think about Saul and the men of Israel. And some of y'all are going to know where this comes from. But think about Saul and the men of Israel. When they looked, when Goliath stood up, Brother Jackie, when he stood up, immediately I can just imagine that this is what they started doing. They were greatly afraid. They were dismayed. They were greatly afraid, and they turn and they run. You know why they ran? The reason that they ran, just in my opinion, the book of Trevor, if you want to call it that. The reason that they ran was they saw the problem, who was Goliath, as being greater and bigger than God. They saw him as being greater and bigger than God. David, on the other hand, saw God as being greater and bigger than the problem that was in front of him, which was the Philistine. I listened to a thing the other day, and this fella had taken a picture in his car, and he had it up on this screen, and it was showing this air freshener, and the air freshener would look like it was about that big, and it showed a car kind of in the background, almost in the sense, if I was to stand up here and take a selfie from this way, looking back that way, I would look like I'm bigger than everybody in this room. I would look like I'm bigger than everybody in this room. Why do you say that? Because it'd be looking at the perspective that I was looking at it. You see, you know why it's that way? You know why the problem is greater than God in some cases? Do you know why, whenever I took that selfie, I would be looking like I was bigger than you? Because the camera was what? Closer to me. You see, that's the problem, Preacher Thad. Is we're like this upon our problems, but God's over there on the other side. God's over there on the other side. We get closer to our problems, and our problems look bigger, and we get closer, and we get more huddled up to our problems than we do God. But instead, David here was more huddled up to God versus his problem that was at hand right now, which was the Philistine. You see, 90, and this is just my statistics, 99% of Christians are like Saul and his army. Saul and the Israelite army. We see a problem come up. We get dismayed, and all of a sudden we get afraid. But there's that 1%. It's like David. There's that 1% that's like David. But you know what the problem that I see in that is? Go to verse 28. If you've got your Bibles out. We almost there. we see in the home stretch. The Bible says in verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. The problem I see is the 1% that's actually doing something. The 1% that's actually doing something are getting put down by the other 99% that ain't doing nothing. There's a revival going on right now. I probably ought not step in this hole, but I am. But there's a revival going on. Brother Skip mentioned it earlier. Young folks coming to know Jesus. Young folks getting sold out to the Lord. It didn't take lights. It didn't take all this music. It didn't take the fog. It didn't take nothing like that. It didn't take none of that. Granted, is that wrong? No. No, it's not. It's not. But it didn't take none of that. They were hungry for Jesus. They were hungry for Jesus. And now if you look around all over the place, revival is breaking out. Revival is breaking out in North Carolina. Revival is breaking out in Tennessee. Revival is breaking out in South Carolina. Revival's all over the place. But I'm going to tell you something. There's always going to be those that are wanting to put down what God's doing at a place. Revival could break out. Revival could be so strong in a place, and God's Spirit could be there. When you walk in the door, you can feel it. There's thousands of people standing outside of Asbury, that are feeling God on the outside of the building. Say that there's just something different. But then you got those select few. That God could breathe on them. God could breathe on them. And they'd find something to complain about. They'd find something to complain about. Friend, it's all about your perspective. All about your perspective. The prevailing victory over our giants is the last point. Verse 50. The Bible. Smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in his hand. You want to know the secret to prevailing victories? You want to know the secret to winning? Preparation. Proven weapons. And the right perspective. With the Lord's help. Lord obviously being number one. But that was the only way that David defeated this giant, was because he had the Lord as number one. He trusted in the God enough. He knew that the living God was bigger than any Philistine and anything that he'd ever faced in his entire life. Numbers 13 and 33. They're sent out to spy the land of Canaan. It says, and there we saw the giants. All this good was in this land of Canaan. See, in verse 28, it says, nevertheless, they started complaining about all the things wrong with it. And he says, And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. The reason we don't prevail is because we don't have the right perspective. The reason we don't succeed a lot of times, and I'm not saying all the time, but the reason we don't succeed is because we got the wrong perspective.